Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, good Sunday morning. How's everybody feeling out there? Thank you, Isaiah. Thank you so much as you do each and every morning, and you know, introducing the show to a listening audience. And I mean, it is just so wonderful to have you be able to do that, and I'm really proud of you. And really thankful for all that is going on, and we're thankful for the listeners. You know, this is truly listener-supported radio. We want to thank the listeners out there who have tuned in, the 40,000-plus. And, you know, we're really, really excited about you tuning in and listening to this show. And we're really thankful for that. And, you know, today's topic is... you know, building and winning business culture. And what I'm going to do this morning is something a little bit different here as we talk about developing a winning business culture. I'm going to let John Maxwell talk to you about the law of explosive growth and how that impacts your organization and, you know, what you need to do to be successful. And he talks about this from this law number 20, law of explosive growth, and I think it's going to help you a whole lot as opposed to me paraphrasing him this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and let John do his thing. This is from a video that I had a chance to download and look at it that I really, really, really enjoy, and I think you're going to like it too. Talks about the law of explosive growth. So without any further ado, let me go ahead and pull it up so you can catch the whole piece. It's about 27 minutes long. And you're going to listen to John Maxwell's point. All right, take care.
Growth. And the law of explosive growth says to add growth, lead followers. But if you add growth, you've got to lead leaders. There's a difference between followers map and leaders map. Let me give it to you. Followers map is addition. Leaders map is multiplication. And you and I, in the law of explosive growth, have got to get in the vein of multiplication. And 90% of all leaders gather followers and not leaders. And there are three reasons for that. Number one, leaders are hard to find. Number two, leaders are hard to gather. And number three, leaders are hard to hold. That's a fact. And because of those three reasons, often our tendency is to lead followers instead of leading leaders. So what I'm going to do in this lesson, this is a very important exercise. I'm going to share with you the differences between developing leaders and developing followers. Now, let me give you the background of this. For some time, I have known that some leaders... You just look at them, and you go to some organizations, you go to some businesses, you go to some companies, you go to some churches. Yeah, you just got leaders who are, they raise up leaders. And then you go to other organizations, and you got leaders, and they're good leaders, but they don't have any leaders. And you say, okay, why do some have leaders and some not? So over the process of studying people, I came to the conclusion that there were some distinct differences. I would watch and I would study and I would get on my legal pad and write down my thoughts. there are some distinct differences between leaders who develop followers and leaders who develop leaders. And this is going to be highly helpful and very practical for you. So let me give them to you, and some of them I'll talk about, some of them I'll just have to give them to you to write down. Here we go. Number one is the desire. The desire is different between leaders who develop leaders and leaders who develop followers. Let me illustrate it to you here. Here we go. Leaders who develop followers need to be needed. And leaders who develop leaders want to be succeeded. And there's a world of difference between those two. The desire is as far apart as east is from west. Leaders who develop followers need to be needed. Leaders who develop leaders want to be succeeded. In other words, one wants people needing them, and the other wants people succeeding them. One wants to keep a job and have people saying, oh, we need you, we can't make it without you, and the other one wants to be able to equip somebody to do the job and walk away from it. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something in this section because this will be very helpful. As I give you the differences between leaders who develop followers and leaders who develop leaders, I want you to put a check mark by the one that you favor. Now, I'm not coming back and look at your notes, so don't worry about it. Okay, in fact, here's a thought. Have an honest moment. I don't want to press you too much, but do your best. In other words, which camp are you in? Are you a person that you like to be needed? Now, by the way, I want to stop here for a moment. There's nothing wrong with it. I just want you to settle in where you are. Are you a person that likes to be needed, or are you a person that you would like to be succeeded? For example, and I can give you a classic example, that people asked me when I resigned Skyline and Margaret and I left, they said, well, how hard was the adjustment of leaving the church? Well, it's a typical adjustment. You leave people that you love. You leave people that you're with for 14 years. But if you really want to know the honest truth, it wasn't a very big adjustment. Now, you say, oh, John, you're so callous. No, I'm not callous. I love them dearly. Laughed with them, cried. First of all, my life isn't my church. Here's a thought, I have a life. And my identity isn't my church, and my ego fulfillment isn't my church. See, my best friend is my wife. All right, we're best friends. We happen to be lovers and a few other things that are none of your business, too. But the bottom line is, she's my best friend. And so, we've never throwing ourselves into church like, well, this is everything. No, church has been wonderful. But it's not been everything. In fact, I mean, there's going to be a day when I don't have the enjoy group. The enjoy group's not everything. I love the enjoy group, but it's not everything. There's going to be a day when Margaret and I are sitting out on the porch of life in a rocking chair, gumming ourselves to death. And she, you know, and she's going to look at me and she's going to say, what's your name? I know you. You see, when you really boil everything down, what really is going to count in life is when it's over, she looks at me and says, John, you've been a great husband. And I look at her and say, boy, the best decision I ever made for you. And my kids look at me and say, Dad, you've given us all the advantages of life. You taught us to love God, and we're going to try to carry your legacy on. I mean, when you think about it, life isn't very complicated. And my wife never first lady. She isn't the first lady for the church. She's the first lady for me. Now, she happens to be a lady that's in the church, but she ain't the first one. So we don't have pedestals, and we don't have scepters, and we don't have crowns. And I never let the church put me up kind of a pedestal. My name is John. I don't take myself seriously. Love the church. But I can say goodbye and not turn back. In fact, the whole time I was there, I was working hard to equip the church so I could work myself out of a job. Today, as I'm building and developing the enjoyment, I get good leaders and I train them, I turn it over to them, and I quit doing that. I love to give other people. In the name of Jesus. If you have a strong need to be needed, you'll never grow leaders. Because you'll always want them dependent on you. Oh, I got to have you. Could you give me this answer? What do you think? Oh, could you please pray this prayer for me? If you have that strong need, you'll never grow leaders because you'll want everybody dependent upon you. You know, I love my kids, but I don't want my kids dependent upon me. My son Joel now is a sophomore in college. My daughter Elizabeth, she's a seventh-year senior. I think she's made school her life work. Now we'll tell you something about my kids. I love my kids, and they're both great kids. But can I tell you something? I'm glad they're growing up. I want them to get going. I want them to enjoy their life. I want them to have their own life. And I love being an empty nester. I'm sorry, but I suppose I should feel guilty, but Margaret and I like being alone. Now I can chase her in any room I want to. This is wonderful. I better get to number two before I get in deep weeds. Probably already am. There's a difference not only in the desire, there's a difference also in the focus. Let me explain. Followers focus on the weaknesses of people. This is a fact. You can go to the bank with it. Leaders who develop followers focus on the weaknesses of people, and leaders who develop leaders focus on the strengths of people. Now, this isn't going to thrill all of you, but we've been together long enough that you know my name is John and I'm your friend, okay? Consider that a proper response right there. Oh, that is so much fun. I love that. By the way, Pastor, just let me stop. When something funny like that happens in your preaching, stop and just enjoy it. Laugh with your people. Truthfully, it'll be the highlight of their morning. I learned a long time, don't fight that, ride with it. You know, 10 years from now, when they remember your church service, they'll remember that, not what you said. Yeah. When I talk about the differences in the focus, leaders who develop followers, they focus on the weaknesses. Now here's what I want you to catch. Beside that statement, put counselor. You're not going to like this, but go ahead and do it. And beside leaders and develop leaders focus on strengths of people, put equipper. I've just told you right there that most counselors do not develop leaders. Because most counselors are always dealing with the weaknesses. Whereas if you equip people, what do? You equip them according to their strengths. Now, I'm not going to do either or on you because that's too dogmatic. And I'm certainly not going to in any way slam counseling because I think counseling is very helpful. It sure has helped me in my past. It sure helped my wife and I in our marriage. It sure helped our kids. So I'm not anti-counseling here. All I'm going to say to you is this. If you are a counselor-type pastor, you almost always are dealing with the weakness. If you're an equipper-type pastor, you almost always are dealing with the strength of your people. One develops followers. The other develops leaders. In fact, I have a minor in counseling. And in the first few years of my ministry, I did a lot of counseling until I realized that it was quite worthless for me. I'm not a good counselor. In fact, I would always tell my congregation, if I needed help, I wouldn't go to myself for counseling. I wouldn't. The day that I went from a counseling pastor to an equipping pastor is the day I went from a leader who had followers to a leader who had followers. If you spend an awful lot of time in counseling, working with weaknesses, my suggestion would be find out good counselors, find out good psychologists, find out good social workers, psychiatrists, those wonderful people in your community, Christian people that can help, and do referrals all to them. And just look at people, and I know pastors said, well, my people, they just want me. It's because you want them to want you. I know what your problem is. Don't come with that stuff to me. Because I can tell you how you can get rid of your counseling load. Just tell people you're not any good at it. You know, just for the people saying, I just want you to know, I don't even follow my own advice. And the moment that you begin to make fun of yourself, they'll quit coming, or they'll make fun of it. See, when we draw people to ourselves, it's because there is a deep need to feed. Okay? The third difference is in the area of priorities. Leaders who develop followers devote attention to the bottom 20%. And leaders who develop leaders devote attention to the top 20%. Does that make sense? Remember the Pareto principle? If you give the top 20% 80% of your efforts, you'll get an 80% return. But if you give the bottom 20% 80% of your effort, you only get a 20% return. Number four, abilities. Leaders who develop followers are good leaders. But leaders who develop leaders are great leaders. One of the reasons many leaders don't develop leaders is it takes a higher quality of leader. It takes a higher quality of leader to do leaders. And let me go back to an illustration I've used that this works so well in all the laws. I can almost give this illustration in all the laws. Let me give it here, though. Watch this. If from a 1 to a 10, I'm a 9 or a 10 as a leader. In other words, I'm a very good leader. If I'm right at the top as a leader, guess what? If I'm a 10, I can have a lot of 10s and 9s right around me. Isn't that true? So therefore, I'm developing leaders. But can I tell you something? If I'm only a 6 as a leader, now all of a sudden, I've cut out the best leaders because 8s and 9s and 10s aren't going to follow me. So if I'm a 6 as a leader, I'm going to have a bunch of 5s and 4s. And so therefore, I'm not going to be able to develop leaders only because I'm not dealing with people that have the qualities and the characteristics and the gifts and the abilities to be leaders. Does this make sense? Now watch this. A 10, if you're a 10, which is top, as a leader, if you're a 10 as a leader, you will hire other 10s around you. You're very comfortable with 10. You're a 10, you want 10. So if you're a 10, you'll hire 10. If you're an 8, you'll hire 7. Now watch this. If you're a 6, you'll hire 4s. If you're a 4, you'll hire 1. The lower you go, the wider the gap you want between yourself. I wish I had time to teach that. because I want to promise you, I just gave you some incredible leadership wisdom. When it comes to developing leaders around you, the better your ability, the better leaders you're going to raise around you. And again, here's the challenge, because you can learn to lead. If you're a 6 or a 7, get up there another notch. Every time you go up a notch, you increase your capacity. Oh, I wish I had time for this one. Watch this one. Every time you go up a notch, you increase your capacity 10%. Does that make sense? If I was a 5 and I go to a 6, I increase my capacity 10%. If I'm a 6 and I go to a 7, I now have a capacity 10%. Now watch this. But it's not really true. You don't increase your capacity 10% because every time you go up on those higher numbers, you get better people, and now it isn't a 10% because all increments and all numbers aren't equal. So when you go from an 8 to a 9, although you go a 10% number, you may increase your capacity 20%. Because now you're getting a higher quality person. Ooh, wish I had time to teach that. Number 5. There's a difference in attitude. Leaders who develop followers lift up themselves. And leaders who develop leaders lift up others. Total difference. If you want followers, you're going to want to look good. If you're lifting up leaders, you want them to look good. It goes back to the old Mark Twain saying, it's wonderful when the leader of an organization doesn't care who gets the credit. Number 6, time. Leaders who develop followers spend time with people, and leaders who develop leaders invest time with people. A lot of difference. Number 7, expectation. Leaders who develop followers ask for little commitment. Leaders who develop leaders ask for much commitment. A lot of difference. Number 8, leadership. Leaders who develop followers lead everyone the same. Leaders who develop leaders lead everyone differently. Wow. In other words, leaders who develop leaders, they don't try to lead everybody the same. And by the way, quit trying to be fair. This fairness stuff, it's killing us. It's just killing us. I've got to give everybody in my organization an equal amount of time. Why would you do something that stupid? When the Lord teaches the lesson of the talents, he gave one 5, he gave one 2, and he gave one. He didn't give them all the same equal amount. Now, you say, well, I don't like that. I don't care if you like it or not. Talk to God. They don't have equal amount of abilities. They don't have, and by the way, they not only didn't have an equal amount of abilities, they didn't all have equal amount of responsibility either. So that's exactly right. The ones who had the ability got the more responsibility. Now this is a powerful truth. Quit trying to church people a lot of times they'll talk to a pastor and they say, well, pastor, you're spending more time with those folks than with mine. And I don't want to, often I want to say, well, of course I am. You're a wimpy, whiny person. Why would I want to spend much time with you? Your spouse doesn't even like to spend time with you. What do you have to do? Pay people to do it? It's a thought. It's a thought. We have to understand you're not supposed to treat everybody the same. I mean, when the Chicago Bulls were playing Utah and there were 5 seconds left, and let's say that Utah was ahead, and this is the deciding game of the world championship in basketball, and Phil Jackson stands up last year and he calls timeout and he brings the team around him, and they got the ball in half court and they got 5 seconds and they got one shot. And so he got his clipboard out there and he is drawing an X known. He is designing the flash plan that's going to determine the world champion. And while he's doing that, 20,000 people are standing on their feet in the United Center and they're clapping and cheering. By the way, While Phil Jackson is mapping out the last play, everybody in the entire arena knows what he is saying. Because when he gets that X and an O one, he's going to give the ball to Michael. This is an IQ test. see him, John X and Owen has the play. He's going to have him do a double pick out there on the top of the key, and Michael's going to slide around, and one guard's going to bounce past it to him, and Michael's going to go up about 21 feet from the bucket and do that wonderful patent and jump shot. And I mean, he's just getting ready. I mean, they're ready to break the huddle. He's called the play. Michael's going to take the last shot, which is the person you want to take the last shot if the world championship is in somebody's hands. You want it to be in Michael's. And they're ready to break the huddle. And just right before they get to break the huddle, can't you see one of the other players on the team going? Excuse me. Can I say something? Yeah, what do you want? What do you want? Hurry up. We gotta get it. What do you want?
Well, okay. I don't know how to say it. There's something that's probably my spirit. Coach, I think this is just an oversight, and it's okay. Coach, I think it's my turn to shoot the ball.
What?
Well, Coach, Michael shot the ball 17 times, and I've only got to shoot it 4. And in all fairness, it really is. It really is my turn.
Now, can't you see Coach Jackson? Can't you see him looking at this wimpy, whiny person? Can't you see him? I'm just saying.
I am so sorry. Can you forgive my insensitivity towards you?
Of course it's your turn. Michael, throw the ball to him. Are you kidding? No, Phil Jackson's going to look at this wimpy, whiny guy and say, shut up! Sit down. Not only sit down. Go to the locker room. You're fired. You're off the team. Don't come back. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the coach, the leader, realizes that he's got a selfish person who is now putting his interest above the interest of the team. If old Phil Jackson lets that kid shoot that shot and he misses it, the next day, the Chicago Tribune on the sports page, it will say, Phil Jackson is a stupid coach. Here he's got Michael on his team, and he doesn't let Michael shoot the ball. Everybody says, that's the dumbest thing. Can I ask you a question? Why is it that 20,000 fans of the United Center can figure out when the coach is stupid, and people in the church can't figure it out about their leader? Just a thought. You're not supposed to be fair. As a leader, you don't treat everybody. No. You treat them all with love. You treat them all with respect. But you don't spend an equal amount of time. You don't give them all an equal amount of resources. No. You've got to run with your leaders again. One more thing. Number 9. The difference between leaders who develop followers and leaders who develop leaders is in the area of impact. Leaders who develop followers impact this generation. And leaders who develop leaders impact the next generation. And that's what we're trying to do. Impact the next generation. And in the questions, I want to encourage you, I'm not going to read both of them, but the second question, you really got to do some work on this. I want you to review the 9 differences between leaders who develop leaders and leaders who develop followers. And I want you to ask yourself, which side do I usually fall on? You may find that 6 times you fall on one side and 3 on the other. I don't know. But you've got to find out where you are strong and where you are weak. And if you want to develop leaders, you've got to obviously get on the side of leaders who develop leaders. And I have the resources for you there.
All right, you've been listening to John Maxwell this morning, Law of Explosive Growth. I hope that helps you a lot as you're building your business and, building a team and understanding building a team. And as he talked about in the last part of that, you spend time with those that you really everyone with love and encouragement, but you don't spend equal amount of time with everybody because everybody's not equal. And so, again, I don't need to summarize what he said. You know, it's self-explanatory. And, you know, and that's our broadcast for this morning. And join us tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We'll be right back here on these airways with another show on Home-Based Business 101 with a new topic for discussion for the week. I'll be posting that later on this afternoon. Don't know quite where the spirit's going to lead me to what I want to discuss for this week on the morning drive time show at 9 o'clock, Monday through Friday. But I know I'll come up with an interesting topic. So until next time, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Hey, be back at you tomorrow, and have a great and wonderful day. God bless. Peace. Baba Jahi signing off.